On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of the leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lower place. But when you're invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Table grace. That little prayer may have been the first prayer you ever learned. And what a good prayer it is. When we sit down to dinner, we invite Jesus to join us, to be our guest. And in the very same breath, we invite Him to bless the food that we're about to receive. What a wonderful image this little prayer plants in our imaginations. Jesus shows up at our table, and we are truly blessed by Him showing up. And you know, this meal image is a good one for us to hang on to as we work our way through Luke's gospel. One Bible commentator once said that in Luke's gospel, Jesus always seems to be either going to a meal, at a meal, or leaving a meal. And that's certainly the case for our lesson, actually for the whole 14th chapter in Luke's gospel where we find ourselves this week. The meal setting ties the entire chapter together. In that very first verse, Jesus is on his way to a Sabbath dinner at the house of a leading Pharisee. And though although our lesson jumps immediately to verse 7, in verses 2 to 6, Jesus is at that meal and he heals the man with dropsy. And then our reading today starts, verse 7. And it's at that same meal where Jesus gives this great teaching on hospitality and humility. And then that chapter 14 ends with Jesus' parable about a great banquet. Everything in chapter 14 in Luke is linked to Jesus at table. And we want to hang on to that today. Jesus uses this mealtime setting to teach about how life in the kingdom of God is different from life in the kingdoms of this world. In the kingdoms of this world, people are continually jockeying for position. We want to get as close as we can to power and prestige. And that's exactly what's going on in our gospel lesson today. This dinner party is taking place at the house of a leading Pharisee. That's power. And Jesus was his honored guest. That's prestige. And if things were set up the way they usually were in Jesus' day, those dinner tables would have been set up in a big U-shape, with the Pharisee and Jesus as the honored guest sitting exactly in the middle, and then the guests, in order of importance, spread out after him. And then all the lower guests, lower down on the list, would have been along either side of the U. And then servants would have been able to serve dinner by coming in through the open end, with the host and the guest of honor being served first. I have to think that in this lesson today, Jesus must have smiled to himself as he watched the guests kind of jockeying for position. The closer you could get to the host and the guest of honor, the higher your standings are in the kingdoms of this world, right? But I guess it's time for a little true confession here. I remember a time when I really caught myself trying to get closer to power and prestige. And this happened when, in my first career in the insurance business, working in San Francisco, and about 10 o'clock every day, the underwriting staff and I would go downstairs for a coffee break. And there was a nice little cafe down there where we could grab a table and maybe four or five of us would just be able to sit and just hang out together. And sometimes we'd talk about business and sometimes we'd just talk. One day we were just talking. And surprise, surprise, I was doing most of the talking. When all of a sudden I noticed at the counter, the president of our company, of our division. And although it pains me to say it, and although I didn't realize it at the time, in a shameful display of being a total suck-up, I stopped in mid-sentence and jumped up from the table and ran over to stand next to and to talk to the president of the company, just so I could be a little closer the power and prestige of hanging out with the president. I totally left my crew behind just to go and stand next to the president. Not a pretty picture. But don't you think something like that was taking place in our gospel lesson today? Don't you think that there were some friends who were leaving their friends behind just so that they could sort of elbow their way up to the head table and be closer to power and prestige? And I think Jesus sees that, and he decides this is a perfect teaching moment. He gives this little teaching on humility. And he tells the guests, he turns to the guests first, and he basically tells them, don't try to elbow your way to the head table. Don't jump up and follow after power and prestige. Don't get caught up in contests of power and esteem by trying to put yourself first. You know, it occurs to me that not only is this good practical advice on how to avoid embarrassment and looking like a total suck-up today, but it is also a really wonderful picture of what life is like in the kingdom of God. The one who exalts himself will be humbled. And the one who humbles himself will be exalted by God. And this is the consistent message all through Luke's gospel. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Luke's gospel is all about what we can call the great reversal. And we see this going all the way back to the very beginning of Luke's gospel in chapter 1. That message comes across loud and clear where Mary, who's pregnant, goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who's also pregnant, but with John the Baptist. And when Elizabeth greets Mary with that phrase, the mother of my Lord, Mary breaks into this wonderful song that we know as the Magnificat. She sings, "My soul glorifies the Lord, who has done great things for me, who has scattered the proud, who has brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble." This is the great reversal. In the kingdom of God, the hungry are filled with good things, and the rich are sent away empty. This is a great reversal from the way things work in the worldly kingdoms. In the day of the Lord, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And it's the humble who will be exalted. It's a great picture of what life is like in the kingdom of God. But I have to tell you, as good an illustration as this is of what the kingdom of God is like, the picture that Jesus gives us in that second half of that reading from Luke, it's even better. Did you notice in this lesson today that at first Jesus addresses himself to the guests and then directly to the host? He encourages the guests, don't jockey for power and position. Humble yourselves. But then he turns to the host and he offers a wonderful little teaching on what we could call inclusiveness. Jesus basically tells the Pharisee, don't bother inviting A-list type people to your parties. Instead, invite the outcasts, the poor, the lame, the crippled, and the blind. Now, since this is a day for true confession, this next bit will probably tell you a little more than you need to know about me and the way I think. But I kind of caught myself chuckling when I read that part of the gospel lesson this week. And I found myself kind of smilingly inward because I was remembering that great masterpiece of theological movie making, the movie Stripes with Bill Murray, when I read this passage. And you might remember that in that movie, they're a bunch of just ragtag recruits. And he's trying to rally them and unite them so that they can march in a military parade. And he delivers that immortal line to try to draw them together. He says, "We're all mutts." That's what I thought of when I envisioned outcasts coming to a party. Because in our own way, we're all outcasts. We're all just mutts. Each of us in our own way is poor or lame or crippled or blind. But that doesn't mean we're not welcome to the table in the kingdom of God. And if you think about it, so often in the Gospels, Jesus actually lived out this invitation to be inclusive, didn't he? He was constantly being criticized for eating with the wrong people. Jesus made it his habit to dine with tax collectors and prostitutes and all kinds of outcast sinners that the respectable people of his day literally would not be caught dead eating with. But there is a lot more going on in this passage than just good-hearted encouragement to be charitable to the poor and lowly. Because Jesus' teaching today ends with a lavish word of blessing and grace. I'm so glad that Lily talked about grace, that we should pray for grace. Because the blessing, that word of blessing that Jesus offers at the end of this teaching is absolutely huge. And Jesus offers blessing in this teaching to both hosts and guests. All through the Gospels, Jesus willingly associates himself and dines with outcasts. The outcast guests were, of course, blessed to be in his presence. But then he also offers this word of blessing to hosts. As hosts, we're also blessed. When we invite the poor and the lame and the blind to our table, we're blessed not because we expect some form of payment or to be repaid for this wonderful gesture that we're making. We're blessed because it's among such as these that we will actually find and be with Jesus himself. Jesus is telling the host in our lesson today, and he's telling us, that when you put your invitation list together, be sure to include the outcast. Because by doing that, we include Christ. But let me leave you with one last thought. It is within the community of believers that we receive maybe the very best opportunity that we will ever get to live into today's lesson. Every week, the high point of our service is not the prayers, it's not the sermon, it's Holy Communion. The high point of the service is when we gather around the Lord's table. And when we do, I kind of imagine that we look to the Lord kind of the way that group on the front of your bulletin looks to us. You want to just take a quick peek at that? They just look like ordinary people. Mutts. We're ordinary folks gathered around the lavish banquet that God sets for us at the altar. And this is our opportunity to live into the gospel lesson. But it's also an opportunity for us to live into the vision of who we say we are in our own vision statement. At Mountain of Faith, we describe ourselves as common people. I love that. Humble, common, mutts, people on an uncommon journey of faith. There's nothing common about the journey of faith as a Christian. And it's in that journey where we discover the grace and freedom God gives real followers of Jesus. That, brothers and sisters in Christ, is who we are. And what we do every week is to gather around the Lord's table where all are welcome. Each of us comes blind, crippled, or poor in our own way, and yet invited to this feast. At the table of the Lord, we are served bread broken for us, wine poured out for us, by the most gracious host of all. So come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen.